You are listening to Mike on Mike Dell's World, a show about nothing.
And good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. Hello, this is Mike. Yeah, it's been a little while since I did one of these, but hey, you know how it goes. Life gets in the way. Been relatively busy. Got some good news, I guess. We'll see. So on with it. So we finally got our winter last week or two, I guess. Got some snow. Definitely not as much snow as other parts around the country or around here even. You know, usually we get a lot of snow and the rest of the state doesn't get as much, or at least, you know, downstate. But last weekend we were down in Grand Haven and Muskegon, and they got about three times, maybe four times more snow than we have. So it's been definitely less snow than normal. But I did get to use the snow plow a couple of times on the tractor, on the new to-me tractor. And I've actually broke it once, but nothing serious. Actually, twice, now that I think about it. I broke the tie rod I think it was on the right side. And so one wheel was going one way, one wheel was going the other. But luckily, I have a couple of tractors in the backyard that have compatible parts. So I just pulled the tie rod off of one of them and put it on. So that's a good thing. Let's see what else. The other thing I broke is I got a lift link for the snow plow. I decided to not use the snow blower attachment on the tractor and just put the snow plow attachment, which I had my reservations on whether that would really do anything or not. And it's surprisingly good. It does take me a little longer to do the driveway with the plow blade than I would if I was using a snowblower or the snowblower attachment, but that's okay. It's fun driving around, except for the other day it was 5 degrees out and I was out plowing and it gets a little cold. But anyway, I got a link to lift the plow blade because I didn't have one, so I had jury-rigged a chain. Actually, the chain part, the chain worked, but then I got the actual link that it's supposed to have and put that in there, but I didn't use the pins that came with the link. I used some pins I used with my chain lash up, and those were a bit thinner and a bit looser and all that, and I ended up breaking one of those, but luckily I had the stock ones, so I put the one that's supposed to go in there where the one that broke, and I still got to go put the other pin in that came with it. So we'll do that tomorrow, Saturday. It's Friday night, by the way. Had a busy week at work, which is good. I'd rather be busy than bored. But so tomorrow it's supposed to be in the high 20s, maybe low 30s, and it is snowing out there currently, not terrible, but snowing somewhat. I haven't really looked at the forecast to see if we're supposed to get any snow. I haven't really paid any attention to news or weather other than what's happening between the house and here in my Mike Dell's World studio / office / ham shack / shed in the backyard. But anyway, so I'll have to actually go look at that and see what we're supposed to get. But hopefully tomorrow will be warm enough that it's not too insanely cold and I'll be able to put the other stock pin back or where it's supposed to go in the link. And that should suffice. Tractor's running good. It is burning a little oil, which I guess could be expected since it's a 50-year-old tractor or nearly 50-year-old tractor. So I think my project this summer is going to be pull the engine out and do a rebuild on it. Shouldn't be terrible. I don't think it's been done before because I don't believe this tractor was used a whole lot because it doesn't look like it's wore out like so many of them of that age. My other two tractors are just plain wore out. That's why they're sitting in the back for parts. But the one I've been using is definitely not wore out, and the engine's just burning a little oil, so that's okay. We'll take it apart, get it machined, and put new valves, piston, the whole nine yards in it, get the crank trued up. And once I figure out what machine work has to be done and what size piston I need, I'll order the rebuild kit and do that, and probably go ahead at the same time rebuild the carburetor, because I do notice that it's a little hard to start, and just a couple little minor things, but, you know, considering its age, you know, wow. So, yeah, we'll do a little preventative rebuild there, get that all done, and next winter it'll be raring to go. So that's a good thing. So my big news, at least big news to me, those of you that know me know that I've wore glasses for most of my life. And when I was a little kid, I wore glasses. And then I guess from the time I was about 10 or 12 up until I was probably 25, I didn't need them. And then slowly but surely had to get glasses again. And now I'm to the point where, well, he told me when I went in for my eye exam, he says, well, we could either bump your prescription up a whole point on both sides, or you've got cataracts. And he did the test for cataracts and looked in there, and, oh, yeah, you got cataracts. So on March 1st, I go in and get the left eye done, and on the 16th, I do the right eye, and he's fairly confident, my surgeon's fairly confident, that he can get me to 20/20 in both eyes. So that'll be a new experience for the last 30-something years, to be able to wake up in the middle of the night and actually be able to see something. That'll be nice, and not have to worry too much about glasses. Of course, nothing can fix the need for reading glasses from time to time, so I'll probably have to have cheaters, but when I wear my contacts, I have to wear cheaters anyway to read, you know, anything on paper. But it had been getting a lot worse the last couple of years, especially night driving. You know, if it was raining or snowing or anything, you know, it just was really hard to see at night. And I noticed that, you know, every time I'm doing anything that requires any intricate, you know, looking at something, I need a lot of light. I have no problem reading the computer, or an iPad or the Kindle or something like that, because, you know, it's backlit, so it's lit really good. But if I read anything on paper, it's really, you know, kind of pointless unless I have an awful lot of light. But the main thing was the night driving, you know, and lights had halos around them, and you know, I'm very sensitive to the sun and, you know, anything like that. You know, it got to the point where I'd walk outside in the summer, you know, it was really sunny out, and I'd have to stand there for, you know, 30 seconds or so before I could really see much. So, yeah, it's time. So, yeah, go in on the March 1st and get the left eye done, which will be good because that's my dominant eye. And probably just wear the right contact for those couple of weeks in the right eye, and then get the left eye or the right eye fixed, and should be golden. I think that'll be good. I'm really excited about it, actually. It's like, wow, that's great. And my folks both had theirs done, and they were in their 70s. So, yeah. Yeehaw. So that's the plan of attack anyway. Get that done, and I'll be able to see without glasses for the most part, or at least be less dependent on them. That's probably more likely, and I should see everything a lot brighter, and the colors are supposed to improve a lot. He didn't do a color check, but I'll be willing to bet you that color vision isn't that great right now. I know a lot of times I have a hell of a time between dark green, dark blue, and black, you know, when it comes to socks or T-shirts or whatever, or towels. It's funny. I always, you know, my wife hands me my bath towel, and I say, oh, you got the green one. She said, no, that's the blue one. Really? Okay. I'll trust you. So hopefully that'll improve things greatly. Like I said, definitely looking forward to it. Let's see what else has been going on. Lots of things, but nothing, nothing too earth shattering. Of course, like I said, it's winter and we finally got some winter. And I'm done with it already. Not really. I don't mind it that much. It is kind of fun to drive around on the tractor and all that. But some of the pain points is, when it's crappy out, we only have room in our garage for one car because got a lot of stuff in the tractor in there. So my van sits outside. So anytime I have to go anywhere, I go out and warm up the van and scrape the windows, we'll brush the snow off, all that normal winter stuff. Like I said, anybody that lives in the north knows that anyway. And those of you in the south are getting that experience. I guess Texas really took a wallop. And they're having trouble with their power grid down there, which is not good, not ideal. Because, it's a pain being without power, especially when it's cold. Luckily, we have other means of generating heat. So if the power goes out, which almost never does here because they buried all the power lines probably 10, 12 years ago when they widened the road out, they buried all the power lines. And since they've done that, we've had maybe two outages and one was planned. They told us about it, way in advance. And then another one was, who knows what it was, but it wasn't during weather. It was, I think, an accident or something. And like I said, we were only out, maybe an hour one time. And, the planned one was only like 15 minutes. So can't complain about that. That's for sure. And, my little shed here is dependent on electrical, although I could drag out the generator and plug in the heater with the generator. I've got it set up to where I can plug the generator into here and isolate it from the house, so that works. But I don't want to do that if I don't have to. Gasoline's definitely more expensive than power. Another nice thing in here, though, is there's nothing in here that can't freeze. It's probably not perfectly good for all the electrical equipment to do that, but it definitely isn't as bad as, a place that has, plumbing and all that. But, the house, of course, does. But we've got wood heat in the house if we need it. So not super efficient wood heat, just a big fireplace. But you get that thing roaring, it'll keep the living room nice and toasty and the rest of the house above freezing in most cases. That's a good thing. Let's see, they did finally open the restaurants back up in Traverse City or in Michigan in general, which I thought it was kind of silly that they closed them down back in November again when the restaurants weren't the problem. They didn't have documented cases of COVID being spread at restaurants. It might, maybe at bars, I could see that, if people are up mingling around at the bar and, that kind of thing, I guess, but I don't think that was the major spreader. But, as our illustrious governor likes to say, science and data, though we don't see any of the data and the science don't make any sense because restaurants weren't the problem. That's just the target that she could get to, through the health department because it's silly. But they did open them back up 25% capacity, which is also kind of ridiculous. Because, nobody can make money at 25%, although a lot of the restaurants that I go to, I know they're way above 25% of their normal capacity, although I bet you if you look on their documentation for the fire department, the total maximum allowable people in the building is probably what they're going by, which is good. They should. They need to make money because restaurant people, it's been almost a year now. They've taken the brunt of this, and it's amazing that a lot of them are still in business, especially, the independent ones. We don't have a lot of chain restaurants around here, not like a lot of places. I frequent Columbus, Ohio quite a bit because that's where I work. Well, that's the company I work for is out of Columbus. And whenever I go down there, it just amazes me the number of, I mean, every single chain restaurant you can think of. And a lot of them you never thought of. Like, you know, we'll go out to lunch or something to some place and, oh, this is a neat little restaurant, blah, 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 blah. And come to find out it's a chain. You know, it looks like a local place because I'd never heard of it. But, and around here, it's kind of the opposite. Most of them are local, and there's not a lot of chains here. And there's some small local chains, you know, a few of them anyway. But, you know, the vast majority of restaurants aren't that, and the chain restaurants don't do all that well here. We had a Ruby Tuesdays go out of business. This was way before the whole COVID thing. We had a Ruby Tuesdays go out of business. We've had, Hooters went out of business. I think that's kind of nationwide. Although I think there are still some Hooters around, but not here. What other ones? Chain restaurants. I mean, there's just been quite a few. We've actually had, thinking now, I think two, maybe three McDonald's go out of business here. And we had a Checkers go out of business. That's a, I guess, a smaller fast food chain. We had one of those go out of business. We've had Arby's go out of business. We had a Dunkin' Donuts go out of business. Wendy's, we got one Wendy's left in town, but we had two of them. One of them went out of business. We have Kentucky Fried Chicken's gone out of business, although they did come back with a new owner in the same place, but they were down for 6-8 months. And like I said, this is all before the whole COVID thing. Yeah, it's kind of weird. We don't have a lot of Starbucks in town. We actually have, I guess, three officially. Got one on the east side, one on the west side, and then there's one in, I think, the Meijer store on the west side. Meijer store on the east side has something else. I don't think it's a Starbucks. But, you know, like I said, we're not a chain restaurant area. You know, we've got some of the chains, of course, you know, Chili's and Applebee's and Red Lobster, Olive Garden. I'm drawing a blank. There's not a lot of other ones. You know, and then all the not all the fast foods. In fact, kind of slim pickings on fast food. We've got a couple Taco Bells, a couple of Kentucky Fried Chickens, including the one that went out of business and came back. What else? I think we still have one Arby's. No, two Arby's left. We had, I think, four at one time. Of course, we have McDonald's and Burger King. Multiples of those. I count the McDonald's and the Burger Kings, though. 1, 2, 3 McDonald's, 4 McDonald's, 5. Yeah, so 5 McDonald's. And let's see. See, I know this is really entertaining stuff, but, you know, we're a small town. Or small-ish town. Burger Kings. I can think of 2, 3, 4, 5. I think that's it. 5 Burger Kings. I might be wrong. Maybe 6. There we go. There's 6 Burger Kings because I forgot about the one on the east side. Like I said, we don't have this massive amount of fast food places. We don't have, Chick-fil-A was supposed to come here, and they backed out. I kind of look forward to that one. We don't have, we have a Dairy Queen, but it's not a Dairy Queen fast food place. It's just the Dairy Queen ice cream store. You know, they do ice cream, cakes, and whatever, that stuff, but they don't do burgers and whatever, and they're only open part of the year, so they're just a part-time Dairy Queen. And we used to have one of the old-style ones downtown, right on, if those of you that are local, right on Union and 8th Street there. Right now, I think there's a little office complex there, but that used to be one of the old-style where you had to walk up to the window and order, and at a parking lot there, And I guess back in the late 50s, early 60s, they had a trampoline sunk into the concrete or into the parking lot there. And one of the famous people around here, Bill Whiting, broke his neck on it. At least that's the story I'd heard. Became a quadriplegic, and then he became an artist. So he would paint with, he'd put the brush in his mouth. He could move one arm enough to just be able to grab the paintbrush and dip it, and then he put it in his mouth, and he made art. You know, there's a lot of artwork of his around town, various places, and that's what he did after his accident. I don't know how long. Maybe he was an artist before. I don't know. I don't know the whole story, but he was kind of a local celebrity. But yeah, that's the downtown Dairy Queen. But like I said, we're just not a chain restaurant place. There's a lot of local places, a lot of good local places, and some so-so ones. There's a lot of good hamburger places. And of course, Traverse City's famous for Don's Drive-In, which is it's a 50s diner and drive-in. So, but the thing about them is they're not 50s style because they built it as a 50s style diner. They built it in the 50s, and it just hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot in all that time. And, they modernize it a little bit, but for the most part, it's the same Don's Drive-In that was there when they built it in, I think, the late 50s or maybe even early 60s, but it's that style drive-in / diner. You know, think of, the diner on, or the drive-in on Happy Days. I mean, it's just like that, very, very close to that. And they've got really, really good burgers there. They got we got Slab Town Burgers. Got a new one that I think is maybe a chain, and if it's not a chain, it's really good. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's called Proper Burgers, but I can't remember the first part of that that name. But the last part's Proper Burgers, and they're really good. Bubba's, it's another good burger place. Sparky's Diner, which is kind of like Don's but without the drive-in part. In fact, it's owned by one of the former cooks that worked at Don's for 25 years, and he has opened his own place, and they've doubled in size too. In fact, and then J&S Hamburg, we got actually two of them, but they're not related anymore. J&S South Airport, which is on South Airport Road. And it's really cool. You go in there, it's all aviation themed. They got murals on the walls and model airplanes hanging from the ceiling. And it's really quite cool aviation theme since it's right by the airport there. And then we got J&S Downtown, which was the original. They're still the same as they always were. Kind of drive-in-ish, but not really a drive-in. But like I said, they're local places. They used to be related, and then I believe the husband and wife that ran it got divorced, and she got the one on the south side of town, and he got the one on the north side of town, and he died, and she sold the south side one on South Airport, and gal that's running it now, she's a really go-getter and really survived well through this. Well, I don't know about well, but she survived through this whole COVID thing and doing really well over there. In fact, we just had takeout from there. They're too busy on the inside with only 25% capacity. So I had their famous liver and onions. And, you don't want to smell my breath right now. But good stuff, for sure. I guess that's it. I was just feeling guilty that I hadn't done an episode in a while. Figured I'd catch up on what's going on. Real excited about the eyeball surgery. So hopefully that goes as planned, and he's able to get me to the point where I don't need glasses most of the time. That would be awesome. I could wear my cool sunglasses that I wear when I wear my contacts, but like I said, during this whole COVID thing, I haven't really wore the contacts all that much just because I'm not going anywhere. So it didn't really matter whether I was wearing glasses or not. And frankly, now, you know, that my eyes have gotten worse, I see better with the glasses than I did with the contacts. Because the prescription on my contacts hasn't changed in a couple of years, and my eyeglasses have. So that's probably okay. The only bummer about it is I bought new glasses last year, and, you know, I don't know if you've bought glasses in a long time, but they're expensive. And so I spent a lot of money on glasses that now I don't or shouldn't need anymore. What I'll probably do, though, with the sunglasses once, because I got two pairs. I got the regular glasses and sunglasses, and they're bifocals and or progressives or whatever. And I think what I'll probably do is get the clear ones done so that there's no prescription on the top and whatever I need for cheaters on the bottom. So they'll still be progressive, but much thinner. And then for the sunglasses, I'll just have them put clear, you know, regular sunglass lenses in them because you know, I like the glasses when I need them. So that's probably what I'll do for those, you know, so that I don't waste the frames. But I know the lenses are the expensive part, so you know, maybe I'll just forego that and get the, you know, get the drugstore cheaters and call it good if I need them. You know, you never know. Because with my contacts on, before everything started getting worse, even though I'm supposed to wear bifocals, you know, the contacts weren't bifocal, so I had to have cheaters, and a lot of times I didn't even need them. Like, with my contacts on, I could actually read my Apple Watch, maybe not the teeny tiny print, but, you know, I could read it good enough to, you know, tell the important stuff, like, what time is it? So, anyway, I'll let you guys get back to whatever else you are listening to. I'm going to do a podcast help desk episode tomorrow and get that done. I got a couple of subjects. Actually, I'll probably record two of them so that I got another one for later in the week or next weekend. And we'll call it good. And this weekend, I don't have to go anywhere and don't have a lot. Oh, wait a minute. I do have, we'll save that for the next episode. I do have one more big thing coming up that I'm also looking forward to being done with it. We'll put it that way. This one's construction related and not office related, but house remodeling. So, we're doing our kitchen, but I'll tell you a lot more about that and probably do a video version. I did want to mention I do have a video feed now. So if you want to look up Mike Dell's World in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app that does video, I'm actually doing video. I was going to do a YouTube channel, and I do have a YouTube channel, but I don't really put anything there. But with all the censorship and crap going on in social media, I think I'm, you know, stick with doing video on podcasts because you can do that. So I have a separate feed, so you're not going to get any big video files on this feed. And you can subscribe to it. The RSS feed and the Apple Podcast link is below the player. If you go to MikeDell.com and look for my picture with a big microphone sitting there, I should get one with a video for that logo, shouldn't I? Yeah, maybe I will look for a video camera and change that logo, a splash screen on the video. But if you hit the play bar there, it'll actually be video. And I do have a video tour of my office shed ham shack. And, those will be occasional vlogging type videos or maybe something interesting I find to video since, everybody's carrying a video camera and a still camera and a voice recorder and everything else in their pocket called an Apple phone or a Android phone. Mine's Apple. And watch for video content on the second feed over at MikeDell.com. Catch me later.